It's Thursday, and I'm just going to leave it at that. It's Thursday, and so I guess very Thursday exciting. Are going to be the days that Stu and I just may not just talk to each other, I guess. I guess that's what it is.
How do we make Thursday every day?
All right, let me tell you about American Financing. They're our spotlight sponsor this hour. American Financing, if you are looking to buy a home, now is the time. But please don't overspend. Please don't get in over your head. Please think about the future and, you know, how dicey things could get. American Financing does not work for the bank. They don't take any kickbacks from the bank and jamming you into a loan. And that's where everybody gets into trouble. These are honest brokers that work not on commission, but are salary-based. So they really are truly looking for the right loan for you. If you need to refi, you want to consolidate, or you want to buy a new home, now is the time. Please lock in these rates at AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net, 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, it's Helium Thursday.
Oh, well, wonderful. I'm glad we're back to this. I am. This is thrilling. I am.
Stu does not enjoy Helium Thursday. Mm. However, Pat does. We're going to look at AOC's wonderful speech about people are dying. People are dying because of global warming. And it's a very serious issue. And we'll talk about that coming up with or without Stu.
What was the second option again?
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You just don't. I don't know why you don't like Helium Thursday. It's going to make that AOC thing much easier to listen to. Did you hear her rant yesterday?
I did. Yes.
Oh. I mean, it's hard to
do worse than her. So you were probably right on the Helium thing.
Oh my gosh, it is so. It is such a great story. It's just such a great story. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about Relief Factor. If you're in constant pain, today may be your day. I want you to try Relief Factor. I want you today to stop listening to these commercials and go, you know, maybe I should try that. No, it probably won't work for me. Maybe I should try. Just commit to it. Just do it today. Call 800-500-8384. Don't wait. Do it right now. I don't know about you, but there are so many things that I just wrote down two notes to myself that I think of every day while I'm at work. This. I know it's not really work, but I write them down and I'm like, I got to do that. And then I never do them. Please just do it right now. If you want to get out of pain and have your life back, try Relief Factor. Try it for 3 weeks. A quick start. Relief Factor, 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Ocasio-Cortez on how the Senate just did not take this bill seriously. They did not take this bill. What? They asked you to vote on it. Go vote on it. You brought it up. Vote. No, you're not taking it seriously. I'm saying you can vote on it right now. No, we got to talk about it. Wait a minute. You got to talk about it. All of you guys have endorsed this. You proposed it. You said it was the most important thing. Elizabeth Warren came out and said it was the frickin' moonshot. It was as important, if not more important, than going to the moon. Which I think a lot of Democrats might relate to because I think they've been deprived of oxygen for a while. Like you would if you lived on the moon. This is craziness. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a second. But also, the guy who, I mean, if we had a scale and we could weigh the balls on a person, I would think that Jussie, which is a stupid name, Smollett, equally as stupid, I think he might win. I have a theory that he would not be nearly in as much trouble if he would have not gone on ABC and said, yep, I mean, I'm just, you know, the police are looking and I'm just so beaten up about this and I believe it. And I think that just irritated the police and the mayor so much that this guy had the balls to go on television and say that when it wasn't true.
Acting like the victim after he already faked acting like a victim.
Correct.
Is really frustrating.
So really frustrating. Then, when they dismiss the charges earlier this week, he just ratchets it up. He's, if you were innocent, why did you pay $10,000? That seems like a pretty bad deal for a guy who's been vindicated. Okay? So he gives up his bail money of $10,000. Then he goes out and says, again, I've been completely vindicated, which was not the deal. I think he's even in more trouble. And then this is what his attorney says yesterday. Listen to this.
Clearly, you think the police are not telling the truth about Jussie. Are you going to sue?
We're weighing our options now. For Jussie, what's really important is he really just wants his career and his life back. Again, he did not ask for any of this.
No.
He was a victim of a crime. This has completely spiraled out of control and become a political event at this point. And his goal and focus right now is just getting his life back on track. He has not even started healing from the initial attack because he's been dealing with everything that's happened since then.
Oh my. So they're weighing their options. We don't know. We might sue the police. You might sue the police. Forget the bleach. You are just putting gasoline all over yourself. And you're in a match factory. It's crazy.
I mean, they were lucky enough to get the whole case sealed at this point, even though the FBI is looking into it and more may come out. But if they were to actually sue and open themselves up to all of the evidence coming
please do it.
Because there needs to be some justice here. And, you know, again, I wasn't there. We know what he said happened didn't happen, however, right? Like, we know for a fact two white guys
did not do it.
We know because we have video of the two people who were accused, the two brothers, with buying the bleach, buying the rope, buying the MAGA hat, right?
Buying the masks, buying everything. What were they doing? Are they some sort of prophets where they bought that stuff because they were going to reenact it in their own home just for fun later? But they saw this event coming. I mean, what is the other reason? I want to know just that. Guys, if this isn't true, which the brothers say it is, guys, if this isn't true, why did you go out in the middle of the night to a hardware store and buy all this stuff? What did you do with that? What crazy list has those items on it? Except for, let's go throw bleach on somebody, throw a noose around their neck, shout, you know, this is Trump country. What else?
Yeah, there's not a lot of them.
No.
You'd have, maybe, because you had an incident similar to this recently in which you went to a yard sale and wanted to buy a blank canvas.
Right. Well, no, I look.
You just wanted a canvas.
And just wanted a canvas.
You picked up a painting and it was very controversial.
Yes, you know me. I'm into recycling.
Into reusing.
You're a big environmentalist, as you were just talking about.
Huge environmentalist.
With the Green New Deal.
Yeah, huge environmentalist.
And so you picked up this painting.
Yeah.
At a yard sale.
The canvas. I didn't buy it for the painting. And then
I'm sorry.
I started seeing it after I got home, and I thought, okay, it's clearly unfinished, right? It's clearly unfinished. And it looks like the way German propaganda used to make Jews look.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the artist wanted to make Hitler kind of look like that rat kind of guy that they used to make Jews look like.
The victim of his own propaganda.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Then he's holding this piece of paper, and I'm guessing it doesn't say anything on it yet because it's unfinished. I'm guessing. But I'm thinking it probably was going to say, infanticide, not rejected by the Senate. And so then there's this Hitler kind of looking down at this paper like, what? And then up above, and it looks like the artist was just like, I'm just going to throw this on here because I don't know if this is going to work. And it says, wait, you mean I only had to call it Planned Parenthood?
Right. I mean, an offensive, controversial piece of art, I thought. And
well,
you as the 100th most important person in the world of art would know that that's a very controversial thing. But again, you just bought it at a yard sale for the canvas.
Correct. It had nothing to do with this.
Right. Perhaps these two brothers were looking to design a hat, but had no blank hats.
Okay.
They needed a white hat to be able to design their incredible artwork on. The only hat they could find was red, and the only way to get it to white was bleach.
Ah!
So they bought a red hat, they bleached the red hat.
All right.
And the rope was simply, like, you know when you have, like, sunglasses, and some people put the little piece of, like, you know, a string on the back so, like, they can hold it around their neck when they take them off?
Sure.
Perhaps it's Chicago, it's a windy area. Perhaps they were concerned this hat would blow off of their heads.
So you put rope on the back of the hat.
So they put rope on the back of the hat and tied it to maybe their waist.
Stu, I think you're onto something.
In case it
blew
away.
Well, you tied it onto your waist.
Well,
it wasn't just like the glasses that just kind of hangs around your neck.
Well, if you hung it around your neck, the hat could still
blow off. So you'd have to tie it to like your belt. That's a good fashion accessory.
First of all, it's sexy. I mean, that's the only good start there. Okay, we can start there. That is
high rope. I think that's very logical.
I think maybe we should reenact this. We should get a hat. We should bleach it.
Let's
we
try
should
it.
Use the rope.
Let's
and see,
try
tie it around.
It.
And see if because I mean, if did you watch Making a Murderer season 2 by any chance?
No, I did not.
It's on Netflix, of course, and one of the big focuses of the second season is they try all these other scenarios out that they think could explain the murder. And they just basically reenact them
to
see what would happen.
Can we do it tomorrow? Can we do it? Let's get the hat. Let's get the bleach. Let's get the rope. The making of the Jesse Smollett non-hate mongering friends that he had.
Right. That's the great title. I don't know if Netflix takes it, but maybe Hulu.
Right.
Maybe
we'll,
Amazon
we're
going to
do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. By the way, the TMZ founder, let me play the audio here. He said he's never seen anything like this. This is not the way celebrities are usually treated.
I have never seen anything quite like this in my entire career. Nobody understands what really happened here other than a few people in the state's attorney's office.
You're exactly
right. But this is bizarre, makes no sense. I've seen celebrities being handled differently, sometimes more harshly and sometimes less than the average Joe. But this case is different from the way all celebrities would be treated. There is something fundamentally different in this case. I have never seen this kind of a disposition where the state's attorney secretly says, go to Jesse Jackson's for the weekend, spend a couple hours, you know, working on camera shots, and then we'll call that community. I've never seen anything like
because
that. It's different from other celebs.
Well, you know.
Now, that's not what
it's probably the bleach and the hat thing.
Right.
And the rope around the belt. I think you might be onto something. We'll pick that up on tomorrow's program. Booker had a town hall yesterday. That was pretty interesting.
He's I think right now you could just put him in the White House. Why even have the election after that town hall? It was so good.
Well, because we have to keep it Democrat. Sure, we're going to have socialism, but we want it to be democratic. That's what we really
want.
Okay,
so we want to at least have the
did you read that
appearance
article?
Of a vote.
Did you read the article about how the Nazis weren't socialist? The National Socialists were not socialist?
As I was reading, I was like, they will literally do anything.
Anything.
Anything. They will even say the words you know mean things that they don't.
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it goes to my snowball. Yesterday on the news and why it matters, yeah. I talked about a snowball, mm-hmm. and they've been making this giant snowball and rolling it up the hill. And they're like, we're going to get it to the top, and it's going to roll down the hill and crush everything. And it's just stopped, and they keep pushing, and they keep adding to it, and it stopped. And I think it's about to roll back on top of them. We'll give that here in just a second. First, let me tell you about Simply Safe, 100% commitment to helping you fear less, especially at your home. They protect your home, Simply Safe does, 24/7, no hidden fees, no contracts. This is why they're the fastest growing home security company in the U.S., now protecting over 3 million people. They were there's a company that was started by a young guy who was just trying to help his friends who had rental apartments. And there was this this string of burglaries that were going on in the neighborhood. And he's like, you know what? Let me see if I can come up with something. And so he did. He came up with this burglar alarm that was completely wireless because everybody was renting. And they couldn't drill holes in the walls and they couldn't have contracts and everything else. Well, it took off in this neighborhood. And that's when he went, I think I have something here. And he did. Simply Safe Home Security, an amazing company with dedicated people who just are trying to let you know it doesn't take an arm and a leg and doesn't take a fortune to watch over your stuff while you're gone or while you're asleep. It's simple. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now. Get 10% off. SimplySafeBeck.com. Free shipping, free returns. 10% off now on your system at simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. 10 seconds, station ID. I have to tell you, last night we watched Green Book. Have you seen Green Book
yet? I have not. It won Best Picture, right?
I have no idea. Oh, by the way, we've got to get a movie review. I was invited to go see a screening of Dumbo, which I'm really nervous about because it's one of my favorite movies.
But also really excited about it too, right?
Yes. Okay. I'm very worried about it though because it's Tim Burton, and Tim Burton always misses the heart by this much. Just barely misses the mark.
You've been saying this for years. This is one of the first like pop culture observations I can remember from you.
Really?
Yeah. Every Tim Burton movie, you say the same thing.
It's true. He's not every single time, but most time, 99% of the time, like Edward Scissorhands, I think hit it. It hit the heart just right. Usually it just misses it. And you're like, well, no. All you had to do was just a little bit of this and it would have hit the heart. Dumbo is all about heart. And I couldn't go. They scheduled it twice and I just couldn't make it. So I sent Marissa, who is also a big Disney fan. And Dumbo is one of your biggest, one of the your favorite movies.
Disney nerd would probably be a better.
No, there is no Disney nerd. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Dumbo. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites because it's so sad. Just like Bambi, I'm not a fan of emotion quite like that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't like Bambi either, but
the man in this scenario is the one who likes the crying.
Oh, my gosh. Dumbo is so sweet. It was so sweet.
Emotional.
Was it good?
Okay, so a lot of the reviews are saying it missed the mark. I 100% disagree, though. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was excellent because did you see Beauty and the Beast, the yes. live action? Did you yes. like it?
It was okay.
It was boring because it was the exact same as the cartoon. So everyone was saying they don't like the new Dumbo because it's too different. But it's refreshing to have something different. I don't want the cartoon in yeah. real life form.
The shot for shot remake in real life yeah, form is not a good one.
I kind of like it sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, okay. But I kind of like that they're doing it. You know, right back to the original. I kind of really like that. Dumbo, though, you can't. It was only 70 minutes. It was a short.
It was short.
It was 70 minutes, so you have to add more. Mm-hmm. And then,
And also, the animals don't talk in this one.
Right. The animals do talk.
They don't talk in real life either, Marissa, just right. So you're aware.
You don't know that.
And you have to dump a lot of dicey scenes today, like the crows.
The crows, yep.
I mean, the crows are
they
like...
They didn't make it in the film.
Yeah, I'm not surprised yeah. by that.
I don't remember the crows.
The crows are singing, I've seen, and oh, I've no. seen this fly, and I've seen that fly, and you're like, oh, uh-oh. Boy, this is not going to fly.
uh-oh.
So, yeah. Yeah. So the black crows are not in this one. No. So you've changed it, but all I care about is the heart between Dumbo and the mom.
And his mom. It's still there. And I think it's unbelievable. Some people don't agree with me. My husband didn't agree with me. But I thought that the heart they gave Dumbo was just so... The animation. It was like he was real. It blew my mind. Disney is killing it with the animation.
I think 70 minutes, you know what, is enough for some movies, though. Let's be honest about it.
Not Disney
like,
movies.
For example, the new freak... I know this is my jihad in life. The new Avengers movie is 3 hours and 2 minutes.
This not
is
long
you're
enough.
Not, no okay, need. Wait. I would agree with you. If they were doing, you know, Captain America, 3 hours, fine. This is... You don't appreciate Marvel movies. This mm-hmm. is all of the storylines coming together.
That's what they do all the time. And
no,
they just
no, no.
throw all
no,
the
it's not.
They,
it's
they,
not.
They
this
have a giant
different.
Blender and they take all the action figures
no.
and they throw it in and
no,
turn it on
it's
high.
Not.
And that's every Marvel movie.
It's really not. All
three
of the,
hours
no,
is
no,
14 Marvel movies. Right. That's how much you...
All of the movies are have led to this one storyline.
Yeah,
all
I know. It's
of
the greatest
the
crossover event since. I got
no,
it.
No, I just... You can't tell it in... I mean, it's like telling The Lord of the Rings. I hate to compare the two, but it's like The Lord of the Rings. It takes 3 hours to tell that story.
No, it didn't. It took way longer than 3 hours to tell that story. They kept
this one is taking
split
about
it into like
5 hours.
96 movies that series.
I know. And this one is it's, you know, it's a comic book, so it's not exactly, you know, it's not Lord of the Rings. So they're only doing it in 5 hours instead of
how long?
Like 16 hours.
How long are these comic books? They're longer than the Black Book of Communism.
No, but
it's like, I just
no,
don't understand.
Because it's years, it's decades of stories. They're telling
and you
know them.
What each movie feels like decades. That's
oh,
the
you're
problem.
You're so wrong on that. I will tell you, though, if I were Disney, I would be freaking out right now on what Captain America has come out and said. Have you heard this?
He's Glenn. That's a movie. He's not even real.
Yeah, I know.
That's unbelievable. You
but
didn't even.
He is. You know, the nice thing about the Marvel movies is they're not political at all. They're not, and they have just good values, and it's just good. Captain America has said he feels guilty for not speaking out about politics, so he's going to start his own super PAC, and he's going to start speaking out. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care if your super PAC was for, you know, Donald Trump or against Donald. Shut up, Captain America. Shut up.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Walt should be, he should be thawed and defrosted and brought back to life just to say that. Shut up. Anyway, let me tell you about something that I think you really need because people are following you. And this is all going to surveillance capitalism, and every single keystroke you make can be found by Google and everybody else. It's all stored, unless you have a virtual private network. And I know you have nothing to hide or anything like that, but this is to predict you with 100% certainty. I just don't like this at all. I'm not comfortable with people storing this information on me. Norton.com/VPN is your solution. It starts at $3.33 a month if you sign up for a year. You download the app, you put in the password one time, and then it gives you a virtual private network that stops all these companies and all of these people from collecting all kinds of data on you. It will protect you from thieves. It will protect you from... this kind of surveillance. Norton.com/VPN. Do it now.
When you were a little kid, you probably loved comic books. And when you were a little kid, you probably loved when people spoke in high voices because of helium. Well, it's Helium Thursday, so get ready. This is the Glenn Beck program. For some reason, Glenn and Pat have decided to dedicate a segment once a week to Helium Thursdays. This is a segment in which they discuss something while sounding like they are on helium. This week on Helium Thursday, they discuss the Green New Deal.
Hello, Pat. Hello, Glenn. I want to talk to you about the serious issue of global warming and the new Green Deal, or the Green New Deal, whichever, right?
Right.
So, I don't know if anybody saw AOC's speech yesterday, but I believe that it needs to be taken seriously. Oh, and we're treating it with the utmost seriousness.
All right.
So, may I quote? She said yesterday, people are dying. People are dying. And this is not an elitist issue. This is a quality of life issue. You want to tell people that their concern and their desire for clean air, clean water, is elitist? Tell that to the kids in the South Bronx, which are suffering from the highest rates of childhood asthma in the country. Tell that to the families in Flint, whose kids have their blood ascending in lead levels. Their brains are damaged for the rest of their lives.
It didn't have anything to do with climate change, by the way.
Call them elitist. You're telling them that those kids are trying to get onto a plane to Davos? People are dying! They're dying! And the response from the other side of the aisle is to introduce an amendment for 5 minutes before a hearing in a markup. Will no one take this seriously?
Can you take it more seriously than putting it up for a vote?
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. I noticed that Daisy Hirano,
yes.
Daisy Head Maisie,
yes.
She was asked if she wants to have it both ways, because she didn't want the vote, but she is a co-sponsor of the bill. And so she was asked yesterday, even by Katie Tour on CNN, if she's trying to have it both ways.
Yes.
And she said, no, this is an aspirational document.
Oh.
It's aspirational? I thought you wanted it to become policy.
Well, why would you put the bill together with all of the policies in it if it was just aspirational? Because I do know an aspirational document that they seem to hate. It's one that says something like, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, or something like that.
If this is just aspirational, why don't you take that document and stick it up your aspiration?
That's my question to Daisy Head Maisie. Well, we talk about cost.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to pay for this, said Ocasio-Cortez. Whether we do the New Deal or not. Because towns and cities are going underwater.
Which ones?
I missed that report.
Oh, there's lots of them.
There is Malibu.
Is underwater?
Pretty sure.
Huh.
And there is,
is Miami?
Miami?
Miami's gotta be underwater.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Atlantis is underwater.
Underwater? That's true.
That is so, true. There's lots of them. Anyway, she says we're gonna pay for them, and we're either gonna decide if we're gonna pay or react.
Are we gonna react and pay? Or be proactive and pay.
She says, I'm very sad that the government knew that climate change was real back in 1989 when NASA was reporting this, and the private sector knew it even before. They knew it back in the 1970s. So we had to wait around until the time I was born to address this issue.
Well, but in the 1970s, it was global cooling, right? We were going into an ice age.
I know that, so... We're just taking it... Please, Pat,
Are you taking this seriously?
I am. Okay. I am. Very concerned. I wish it didn't have to cost so much, Batu. I'm going to turn 30 this year. And for the entire 30 years of my lifetime, we did not make substantial investments to prepare our country for what we know is coming. So we have a choice now. Lower the cost now and pursue the Green New Deal? Or realize that it will cost far more if we do not pass it.
This has been Helium Thursdays on the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know about you, but I...
Powerful.
I think it's much more powerful.
It is. It is.
At least you can deal with it.
It gave that story the gravitas it deserves.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes, because they're always saying that we just won't deal with things, and we should deal with them. We should deal with them seriously. I think it is incredible that these clowns actually put a bill together and then, okay, let's pass it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it. Mm-hmm. When was the last time the Democrats said, okay, you guys created a bill. You did the border wall. Go ahead. Pass it. Let's vote on it right now.
Yeah. Right.
They've never done that.
No.
Never done that.
I wish they would.
I do too. Okay, great.
Let's put everybody on record.
Let's put everybody on record. Go ahead. And what does Ocasio-Cortez say? She says that she told everybody how to vote. She said she told everybody that they had to vote present. That was the way to do it. Mm. So are you telling me, all you people running for president in the United States, that Ocasio-Cortez is telling you how to vote?
That's what she's saying, Democrats.
Oh, my gosh.
She's saying that she's telling you how to vote. God, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this fall.
Oh, man.
This is going to be so dramatic.
Have you heard my snowball theory yet?
Yes, that the snowball has gotten so big and they're pushing it uphill and it's about to roll back on. Yes.
Because it's collecting all kinds of stuff where it's becoming... You know, I talked yesterday about the creepy valley, or the uncanny valley. Do you know what the uncanny valley is?
No.
Uncanny valley is a thing in CGI and animation, and we all have experienced it. For instance, you know, when you went to see the Polar Express, it was good, but it was just a little creepy. The Tom Hanks character was just a little creepy. Not creepy, but just a little bit. It wasn't
off-putting.
It was off-putting. It wasn't warm. You didn't want to embrace it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because they were trying to make him look too human. That's why Pixar and everybody else, when they do CGI, they will make their eyes really big. They will distort the human features, because as you get closer to looking just like a human, there's something innate in us that says, ick. When it's not exactly right, we say, ick, there's something wrong with that. And that's called the uncanny valley. So as you get closer and closer to, you know, having this human, as CGI gets better and better and goes up this hill, all of a sudden it reaches a point to where it's too close but not right, and it plunges down and it creeps people out. That's what's happening with the Democrats right now. They are the American people... are compassionate. They're fair. They don't want people to be racist. Nobody wants to be around Nazis. Nobody wants people to have sexual harassment. So they've done all these things, and they're getting closer and closer to, like, you know, the heart. And they're like, yeah, this is us. This is us. This is us. And it's going up. And then all of a sudden, it goes too far, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's something really wrong here. And even if you can't put your finger on it, it's just in all places. With abortion, it went compassion, 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 compassion to, uh-oh, there's something wrong here. I don't feel good about where this is headed. Same thing with Jesse Smollett. And we saw it with the Me Too movement, with what's his name? The Supreme Court Justice.
Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. people were like, okay, no, this is a really good thing, the Me Too movement. And then it started to get really creepy, and then it hit Kavanaugh, and it fell apart. They're standing behind this giant snowball of social justice, green energy, all of this stuff. They've made this snowball. It kept getting bigger and bigger, and they're just about up at the top, and they're thinking, we are going to roll it down into that valley, and we're going to crush everybody. But the snowball, I firmly believe, has stopped. It's not rolling back yet, but it stopped. And they're pushing harder and harder and pushing more snow on it, more things on it. And they don't realize that that snowball, because they keep doing this, is going to roll back and crush them. What do you think of that?
I think it's a pretty good analogy. I think that could happen. I hope it happens, because otherwise we're doomed.
They always,
if that snowball goes over the top and down the other side,
we're done.
It's a real problem.
Yeah,
yeah, it's, we're done.
One way or another, it's going to wipe one way or the other, it's going to wipe everything out. It's either going to wipe out all this social justice, you know, there is no difference between male and female, there is no right and wrong. It's all about social justice. Reverse the power pyramid of the most, you know, intersected being the most powerful, all of that. If it rolls down the hill towards us, they get to the top and it rolls down, that's the world we will have. But I have a feeling the American people are being creeped out by it.
It's really hard to get anything meaningful out of this conversation without helium.
Right? See, that's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, let me tell you about LifeLock. It is the most wonderful time of the year. If Andy Williams were still alive, he would be doing that for people who are trying to steal your information. The most wonderful time of the year, I can get their information.
Oh, no.
I just don't know.
Oh, I want the whole song.
No, no, I don't think. I went too far already. Mm-hmm. It started to creep me out, and the snowball started to roll back on me. Anyway, this is the time of the year where they can get your tax ID numbers. They can get your Social Security number. They can get absolutely everything on you. This is a very dangerous time. This is the time that you want LifeLock. LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck and you're going to save 10% off your first year. But LifeLock.com is the group that actually watches everything. You can have people just monitor your credit. They can monitor your, you know, credit cards or whatever. Nobody can monitor absolutely everything. But LifeLock is the only one that is out there that is really trying to look at everything. Banks will protect you on one thing, credit card companies on another, but they won't put them all together. That's what LifeLock does. And if they see that there is a threat out there, if your information is being used, they have U.S.-based specialists that work to fix it. It's LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck. LifeLock.com. 1-800-LIFELOCK. 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck and you'll save 10% off your first year. Promo code Beck. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. We have tomorrow I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, and I think the two shows that I've promised to be at are sold out. I'm going to try to go to some other theaters and greet the audience at Unplanned. It is a new movie that exposes Planned Parenthood for what it is. I want you to know, when I say this, this is one of those things that I'd be driving in my car and I'd listen to and go, yeah, I should do that. But then I'd never do it because on the weekend, I just want to unplug. And I don't want any heavy issues and I don't want to go to a movie that's heavy. This is not a heavy movie. I'm telling you, it is the most bizarre thing. No, wait, hear me out. Yeah. It's the most bizarre thing. It will be one of the heaviest things that you and your family could ever talk about and witness, especially in that 20-second period. And it will solidify your kids, absolutely solidify, abortion is murder. However, you walk out not heavy. It's not like watching Schindler's List or one of those movies that you're like, oh, this is going to be a dirge, but it's good for me. It's not. It's... you walk out feeling really good. It's really a positive movie all the way around. The women going in for the abortion, they're not torn apart. The women working at the clinic, they're not torn apart. Nobody really It's just, this is what this is. And it's so grotesque. You know, you see it really, you begin to see it for what it really is. This is a money-making venture, period. This is all about money. And it's grotesque. So anyway, I'm going out to Salt Lake because, you know, there's this divide between religions, and it's silly. Now, I'm not talking about theology. Theology is another thing. We can argue about theology all we want. But when it comes to life and everything else, we are in this together. And if we're not, we're toast. And I think that with the country the way it is, every person of faith, and I don't care what faith it is, every person of faith, if you believe that we have had divine providence and protection in this country, it's about to be gone. And we all have to start standing up. And I really, truly believe we can change what's happening with Planned Parenthood and abortion right now. We can change it. I think it's going to be, I think it'll end in the next 10 years if we do what we're supposed to do. I think it could end in the next five. And this movie will play a role in that. But we have to stand together, please. They've added like 10 shows to each of these theaters of Unplanned in Salt Lake. Wherever you are, there's 1,000 theaters that are showing it. Please, if you are somebody that wants your children to understand and be forever solidified, it is rated R, but it's a political rated R, and we can explain it some other time. If your kids are 13, take them to this movie this weekend. Go as a family and take them this weekend. It's critical.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
San Antonio, Texas has banned Chick-fil-A from the airport.
From the airport, yeah, yeah. Amazing, amazing.
I mean, we're losing Texas, man. It's happening fast. Texans are not awake to what is really happening in Texas. They all just roll their eyes and like, oh, come on, Texas will be always dead. No, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to flip this state. Soros is all over this state. And if you lose Texas, you don't have a chance for the Constitution ever. I can't wait to tell you what's happening with Elizabeth Warren, what she said yesterday. Also, we're going to get into Cory Booker and through the Jussie Smollett case. We'll do that in a second. First, let me tell you about realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com is a service that you can go to and say, hey, look, I'm looking to buy or sell a house in this area. And what we do is we have gone out and we found, I don't know how many thousands now are part of our network, but real estate agents who we have found to be the best in the area. Okay. We're not a real estate company or anything like that. We're just trying to find the right real estate agent that has the values that you have and are the best in the area at selling your home or helping you buy a new home. So if you're in one of those categories, sell your home fast for the most amount of money and find the right neighborhood for your next house. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So yesterday on my TV show, I had Dr. Wilford Riley on, and he's a guy who's just written a new book that's really, really good, where he has looked into claims of hate crimes, and he has found that most of these are not true. Most of these are not true. Now, this is a professor from Kentucky. He's a black guy, so he has no axe to grind here. He's just looking at the stats. So what does this mean, this Jussie Smollett case? What does this mean to those who really would like to claim that there's a hate crime that's going on for political reasons? We're going to talk to him when we come back in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I want to tell you about the best chair I've ever sat in. And I mean that. Best chair I've ever sat in. It's the X chair. I've had lots of office chairs. I've spent a ton of money on office chairs. I've spent, you know, very little money on office chairs at Staples or Office Depot. I'm telling you, the best one I've sat in is an X chair, because you can configure it really any way that you want. It has so many different adjustments on it. It's really, really comfortable. And when you sit back in it, and I don't even have the footrest. You can get a free footrest if you use the promo code Beck. I don't even have the footrest. I'm telling you, you lean back in this chair and it's as comfortable as a recliner. I'd go to a movie theater that had these chairs.
Oh, yeah. They've now improved all the seating in these movie theaters, and almost get disappointed when you go into one and they don't have like the leather recliner.
Right.
At least if you're in Texas. If you're in New York City, you're sitting on like a folding chair.
Yeah, I know.
But the X chair would be an improvement.
This is a great, comfortable chair. So order today. You can get the, you know, money back guarantee. And you know, just ship it back if you don't like it. It's no big deal. X chair on sale now for $100 off. That's the basic X basic. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter X, chairbeck.com. Use the promo code Beck. You'll get a free footrest as well as the $100 savings. 844-4X-CHAIR. That's 844-4X-CHAIR. All right. I want to pick up a conversation that I was having with Dr. Will Riley yesterday about hate crimes. Tell me about quickly your search on hate crimes and what you write about in Hate Crime Hoax. How did you come up with this? What was your methodology? And what did you find?
Well, in a sentence, the pitch line, good to be back on with you guys, by the way.
Thank you.
In a sentence, yeah, the pitch line for Hate Crime Hoax is that very many, probably most, of the high-profile, widely publicized hate crime incidents that we've seen in the recent past have turned out to be hoaxes. So we recently saw the complete collapse of the Jussie Smollett case. Just a bit before that, my last appearance, we discussed Covington Catholic, where the claim was that this group of prep school athletes had surrounded this elderly Native American guy. They chanted, "Build the wall." Odd thing to say to an Indian. They tried to take his drum away. But Eastern Michigan, there was allegedly graffiti all over the campus targeting African-American students. Air Force Academy, where Jay Silveria literally came to the campus and spoke out against racism, one of our top generals. Grand Rapids, where a young black woman claimed that white men urinated on her. University of Virginia, where the fraternities were accused of holding these sort of underground Story of O style rape rings. Duke Lacrosse, Tawana Brawley. I mean, you could go back for decades with this.
Sure.
All of the cases that I just mentioned turned out not to have been real. And a couple of years ago, as a graduate student in Chicago, I became aware of this trend because I was actually involved in a hate crime hoax case. The bar Velvet Ultra Lounge, Velvet Rope Ultra Lounge, which was a very trendy, it was billed as a hipster bisexual nightlife experience, if I recall correctly, very Chicago. But this trendy bar that a couple of my friends and one of my ex-girlfriends would attend from time to time burned to the ground. This was, I believe, in 2013. And the claim of the owner was that throughout the bar, there were written these horrendous anti-gay slurs. You know, gasoline or some accelerant had been used to set the place on fire. He had been targeted with hate. So I sort of casually followed that case, like most young professionals in Chicago at the time. And as I did that, I became aware of another case, which involved a guy named Derek Coccoline at the University of Chicago. This was a student activist, a typical cliche Guevara type campus radical. But he claimed that his Facebook and Twitter page had been hacked. And these very violent messages threatening him with things that are never okay, brutal rape and so on, had been sent to him by conservative students. So I was paying attention to both these cases, and there were a few others going on in the Midwest at the time. At Grand Valley State, a young black woman claimed that during Black History Month, someone had broken into her room, I believe, and written anti-black epithets on kind of the whiteboard that college students keep. At Michigan Tech, a white student was suspended for allegedly initially saying he was going to shoot all the black people on campus. It turned out he said he was going to shoot them a smile on Twitter that was photographed using screenshots. It was miscropped to make him look like a racist. But as I followed these local cases, they all collapsed. I mean, four or five big name, high profile cases you can still find. In the Velvet Ultra Lounge case, you had a bizarre situation where the owner apparently owed a lot of money to, in Chicago, perhaps people you wouldn't necessarily want to owe money to. He'd racked up a lot of debt. And he just set the place on fire, burned it to the ground, and then claimed it was a hate crime. So held a fundraiser where he raised something like $30,000, paid off his debts, and opened a new business.
Oh my God.
The story that actually emerged was kind of a circus. As I understand, he owns a bar called Bonsai Bar in Chicago today. But following these cases and watching them collapse as they did, as I said, at Michigan Tech, the student Matt Schultz turned out to be a complete anti-racist Christian guy, as I recall, no racial prejudices. He had actually said, I'm going to shoot everyone a smile tomorrow to tone down these racial tensions. And a campus activist had taken that message, screenshot it, and cropped it to make him look like a shooter. So after these cases all collapsed, I decided to use modern empirical methods, which I had access to at that time, Stata, the more advanced SPSS programs, you know, data crunching computers, as I was a grad student at a good university, and see how frequent this stuff was. And as I graduated and I went into academia, I compiled a full list of these cases. I have 516 cases of hate crime hoax, and I put the book together. And that recently was published on February 26th with Regnery, a large conservative publisher. And, I mean, you asked about methodology. A lot of it's simply looking, really using Google Scholar, Bing Advanced, JSTOR, any of these resources to look for, you know, hate crime 2016, 2017, pick up the cases that you see and then see how many of them survive to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I defined a fake hate crime as a case where there's a serious report, either mass media coverage or police report, about 93% of the time it was both, that turns out to have either never occurred or to have been staged by the quote-unquote victim, or to have been committed by people very, very differently from those originally alleged to have committed it. And they're not infrequent. Kind of last point here, but I will say I'm not the only person ever to research this. It just, until this book, had been almost an underground thing. So you had www.fakehatecrimes.org. That's a great resource, but that's just an internet site hosted by a couple of independent researchers. You have the fake hate map, but that, as I recall, is on Reddit, or it's taken off Reddit. Now it has its own site. But again, that's not affiliated with a university. But I looked through those resources and I compared them to my list, and I found that most of the cases on those lists were also real. They were hoaxes that had occurred. They just hadn't been widely documented. So using all those tools, basically in a sentence, I put the book together. I sold it, and the response to it has been good.
Okay, so how common are these? What is the percentage of hate crimes that are hoaxes?
It's actually a bit, I'm going to give an estimate, but it's actually a bit difficult to estimate that. So most of my cases are concentrated in a period of about 5 years. I did a lot of research in 2017 as I started in grad school around 2012. So you've got 516 cases concentrated very heavily between 2012 and 2017. What an opponent would say, someone who argues that there are a lot of hate crimes, is, well, there are 7,000 hate crimes reported every year, so that's still only 5% or whatever it might be of the cases. There are two issues with that. First of all, only about 1 in 10 hate crime cases is nationally reported, to the extent where a researcher like myself could ethically see a story where it begins and a story where it ends and put it in the data set. So I'm really looking at about 700 cases a year, not 7,000 that would even be available to me, where you've had that kind of media coverage. First of all, the most baseline estimate would be, okay, 516 out of, you know, 7 times 5 out of 3,500. But that brings in some other questions, though. When you look at hate crime reports, in the case of most crimes, if you're talking about murder, it's hard to ignore a corpse. If you're talking about burglary, where there's someone in your house, the number of reports is pretty much equivalent to the number of crimes. With hate crimes, that doesn't really seem to be true. So there are 7,000 reports in a typical year, but the rate of conviction in hate crime cases seems to be between 5 and 10%. So in California, in the most recent year on record, which is 2016, you had 931 reported hate crimes, most on college campuses, which I think is interesting. But of those, only 220 were shot along by the police to the prosecution, which is a very basic standard that means we have a suspect and we believe this wasn't a hoax. We have any kind of suspect, and this probably happened. Of those, only 51 led to a conviction, and that includes all plea bargains. So I guess my numbers would be, over 5 years, you're looking at 3,500 nationally reported cases. I've got, say, because they're not all in this period, 450 hoaxes. That's a rate of, say, 15%. But the real comparison to me would be between hoaxes and convictions. So, I mean, if those 3,500 100 cases produced 350 convictions, the final number would be you have 350 convictions and 450 hoaxes. So there's a very high rate of hoaxing in this field. I don't think anyone, the numbers there are a little estimated, but pretty much on point. Like, I don't think anyone could dispute there are a large number of these.
So I'm going to take a 1 minute break and then I'm going to come back and I want to talk to you. Is there any tell that happens in these fake hoaxes? Do they have anything in common? But also, what I'm going to bring it back to Chicago, and I'll start here. The Jesse Smollett case, with him being, he says, vindicated, and with half the country, I don't even think half the country, with 20% of the country, they'll look at it as vindication, and the other will not. What are the ramifications of that, and what does that tell somebody else who is prone to be a hate crime hoaxer? We'll continue the conversation here in just a second. This is Dr. Will Riley. He has written a great book called Hate Crime Hoax. 23andMe is our sponsor this half hour. 23andMe is just amazing technology. I mean, I remember when they said, we're not sure we'll ever get to be able to, you know, dissect the entire genetic code. Jeez, are you kidding me? Genes say everything, or at least a lot, about your health. You know, if you're more likely to have disease, if you're more likely to be needing insulin at some point in your life, all of these things are passed along to us, many of them. Even how we exercise, or our muscle mass, or who we are physically. And if we know all of these things, we can take better care of ourselves. You also have the other advantage of knowing your ancestry, and it's truly amazing. It's really, really amazing. I would have never guessed that I had any Native American in me at all, but someplace in my past I do. I'm anxious to find out what happened? How did that happen? Which relative? When? I'd love to know that story. 23andme.com/Beck. 23andme.com/Beck. Go there now. Join me on this quest for better living, better health, and connecting with your past. It's 23andme.com/Beck. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. I think with Jesse Smollett, Dr., everybody is, you know, everybody's looking at this, and I don't want to judge, but it looks pretty bad for Jesse Smollett. I mean, it really looks pretty open and shut. I don't know what happened in Chicago, but here's what I'm concerned about. It's not as much with Jesse. It's much more, to me, about what does this say about justice in our country. You know, we don't want to do anything that makes people feel like you can get away with it, or somebody else can get away with it because of their wealth or their status or their color.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the most basic economic level, if you encourage bad behavior, you get more of it.
Do you think what's happening in Chicago is encouraging it?
I do, to be fair. To put it politely, I think that the decision to drop the Smollett charges was a very questionable legal decision. So, I mean, in this case, there was literally a video of the two Nigerian brothers involved in the case, that's the Osundario brothers, buying red hats and ski masks and pieces of knotted rope a few days before the assault. And this isn't me talking as a political commentator. I mean, you can literally find that by Googling "video shows brothers linked to Smollett attack buying all items." That's from national CBS. It's still live on YouTube. The brothers themselves say that Jussie Smollett paid them to commit the attack. They have a $3,500 signed check from Jussie Smollett for something like physical development. I mean, it's not... My initial impression looking at this was this is the strongest criminal case I've seen since O.J. Simpson, mm-hmm. which became very ironic the next day. But, I mean, the prosecution in this case, it's worth noting, they've stated bluntly that whatever he might say, that's their quote, they did not acquit Jussie Smollett. Smollett still had to pay at least $10,000 in bond. He forfeited all of the money that he had with the state. He was given credit for some pretty substantial community service in the past. He might have to do more. The technique used to terminate the case was what's called a nolle prosequi. That's not a not guilty. It's not any kind of acquittal. It's a technical dismissal that's often used with guilty defendants. And, I mean, you literally saw this incredible scene where the deputy prosecutor, who was probably told to drop these charges by his boss, sort of disgustedly said, no, we still think he's guilty. And then across town, Eddie Johnson, good cop, stood up and said, Chicago's police superintendent, this is a travesty of justice. Rahm Emanuel, who's the leftist Democratic mayor of the city, said this is one of the most ridiculous decisions he's ever seen. So there's no chance that Jussie Smollett did not do this. The real question is, why was the decision made to drop all charges against a guilty man, essentially?
It's interesting, Dr. Wee, when we went back and the story initially happened, we thought to ourselves, you know, this seems to happen a lot, particularly with Trump supporters, in which they're accused of doing these sort of hate crimes, and then we find out later that they're hoaxes. And so we went back and pulled a bunch of these stories, and, you know, we saw that pattern very clearly. However, one pattern I didn't really expect to see was how many of the people who were caught in a hoax wound up having little to no punishment for perpetrating the hoax. Is that common? Because part of me thinks that this Smollett story and the way they've treated it isn't quite as uncommon as we may have thought.
I mentioned just in kind of the intro, or I did the brief monologue there. I mean, I mentioned about 12 of these cases. So now the only thing that is notable about Jussie Smollett is that he happened to be a very famous man. He was the second lead on Empire. And he described something so cinematic that this became a national or international story. But in every other respect, normal middle class taxpayer, either leftist or nowadays sometimes alt-right, claims that a ridiculous thing happened, garners local or even regional media attention, and then is exposed as a hoaxer and nothing happens. That is the pattern for hate crime hoaxes, in fact. Very rarely are people punished in these cases. Generally, when someone is punished, what I saw, I believe 74% of the time, was that they receive, this is in case there was any punishment at all, they receive a single misdemeanor charge of something like false report, disorderly conduct. That's how that would generally be treated. You see the same thing in many fake false sexual assault cases. Very rarely is someone charged with the equivalent of what they claimed happened. In Jussie Smollett's case, he was, but the charges were almost immediately dismissed. And as you said, I mean, the line in the law is that justice has to be blind, but also has to carry a sword. So be fair, but also be ruthless enough to keep the public peace. And when you do see something like the dismissal of 16 felony counts, you have to question whether that's happened. But it's not uncommon, no.
Because it's interesting. We have this situation where the glory of being a victim in our society today seems to be so high. The incentive to become a victim is now something in the American culture for whatever reason. And yet we don't disincentivize people from faking it because we never seem to punish that behavior. I mean, that's a weird structure for incentives, and I think it's creating a lot of this, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I think the two phenomena tie together. So, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right that American culture glorifies victimhood, which is odd.
Really, I mean, odd.
When you look at,
opposite of
when
us.
You look, yeah, well, when you look at a hero story, you're not supposed to cheer for the dragon, but you're also not supposed to cheer for the prince or princess tied to the rock. You're supposed to cheer for the hero. Mm-hmm. Being a victim is a temporary situation that you fight your hardest to escape. I was poor as a young man, and now I'm not. And that's the traditional understanding of victimhood. I do think that because of this idea of intersectionality, and now we're almost getting into philosophy, but intersectionality on the activist left, that the more oppressed you are, the more right you have to talk, the more value your lived experience has. Ben Shapiro, the conservative commentator, has done some good monologues about this. Because of that idea, I do think that victimhood itself has gained kind of a premium. In terms of not punishing people for faking victimhood, I think that ties to the idea that victimhood is valuable. Because so many hate hoaxers do happen to be on the political left, because many happen to be people of color, the question that's often asked is, do we want to prosecute? Do we want a bunch of big, upper-middle-class, white and black guys in suits and police uniforms shouting at this person that's in some victim group that claimed they were abused, that's now going to say they have a drug problem, that's now going to say they were mentally ill, mm-hmm. that's going to drag the trial out as painfully as possible. Do we want to be in that position? So very often what you see is a bunch of big cops just disgustedly giving up. This is literally Eddie Johnson when he started crumpling his hat, just giving up and saying, okay. And that is a problem.
That is a real problem. Dr. Wilfred Riley, author of Hate Crime Hoax. Thanks for being on. Back in a minute.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Okay, several years ago, I started talking about what was coming in the economy, and it turned out to be fairly right. I talked about a collapse in the economy. If we wouldn't have had a bailout, it would have been exactly as I described. I am telling you now, I believe that the worst of it is on the horizon yet, because we didn't fix anything. We made things even worse. You're starting to see some real problems starting in the economy and in a whole bunch of product that is just stacking up in warehouses now. Please consider if gold or silver is right for you. Gold or silver. They now have the at Goldline the legal tender bar. Now, this is something that's been out for years, but this is the new 2019 version of it from the Canadian Mint. It is 10 individual, 1/10 of an ounce pure bullion. And it is in case you ever need to barter, but it is an easy, almost like a Chiclets case where you can that you can use them, designed to carry in your wallet or your purse. Find out if it's right for you. Goldline.com, 866-GOLDLINE.
Yummy gold Chiclets. Can't wait. Go to glennbeck.com and see the movie Unplanned with Glenn this weekend in Utah. The details are all at glennbeck.com.
So part of my job in this time when everybody seems to be running for something all the time, and so you don't know what people really mean until they do it, and you can't really trust anybody, what anybody says in a run-up to an election, because they'll run any direction that they want. Look at the Democratic Party running so far left. They will eventually, when they coalesce around somebody, then they will run to the right. Who do you believe? When you can't believe the media and you don't really know what the hell is going on, what is really happening? And when it comes to healthcare, this is costing us so much money as individuals. Businesses are struggling. People are struggling. There is real pain. And our healthcare system is so screwed up now that it's far worse than it's ever been. And the people in Washington are going to kill it. Now, there's a story that came out earlier that showed that Donald Trump said, hey, we've got to be the party of healthcare. I don't even know what that means. We should be the party of the free market. That's the way to fix it. Really open up the free market. But I don't think anybody's really talking about that. And there is a court case that I'm not sure if people are just hyping this because they think it'll get votes or if it's real. But Texas has decided to sue and say, you know, the individual mandate, the court said it was not a fee, it was a tax. And because it was a tax, it's constitutional. The Obama administration said, and by the way, if you get rid of the mandate, then you get rid of the entire healthcare system because it doesn't work and it the whole thing collapses. So Texas is saying, well, there is no tax because it's zero. So there is no mandate. We should abolish all of it. California, of course, is coming out, blah, blah, blah. Donald Trump has said that he is not going to go to court and defend Obamacare. Is this a big deal? What does it all mean? The other part of my job is to try to figure it out and bring in the people who actually follow this for a living and know it. Philip Klein is an expert on this. He's executive editor at the Washington Examiner. He's also an author of Overcoming Obamacare. What is really happening, Philip?
Well, there are a few things happening. I think it's pretty clear that what happened is that Republicans, through four election cycles promised that they were going to repeal and replace Obamacare. And when they had a chance to do it, they couldn't. At the time, I said this was the biggest broken promise in American history, because never before had you had a promise that office holders in one party at every level of government, state, local, federal, said we're going to repeal this thing, and then they had a chance and they didn't do it. And I, now that President Trump is in reelection mode, he recognizes that this is a big problem, that he didn't deliver on his promise to repeal and replace. And so because Democrats control the House, there's not much you can do. So now he's looking to the courts. I think that this particular case, and I've written a lot about it, I was a big proponent of the challenge to Obamacare in 2012, and I was outraged by Chief Justice Roberts' decision. But in this case, I think the argument is much weaker, and I don't think that it really has a chance at the Supreme Court, because of the fact that they'd need John Roberts to sign on to it. And if he refused to overturn Obamacare when the mandate had a penalty attached and it was more, it had more coercive power, and even he found a way to rule that that's constitutional, now that the tax is $0, it's very doubtful that he's going to somehow revisit that and say he wants to overturn it, particularly because in 2012, when the Supreme Court originally heard the case, nobody had benefited from Obamacare yet. There was, you know, the exchange didn't open until 2014. So at that point, they could have struck down Obamacare and it wouldn't have harmed anyone. Whereas now, if the Supreme Court were going to strike it down, then millions of people who receive benefits would lose those benefits. Now, you and I have a different view of what government's power should be, but the reality is that that's going to weigh on John Roberts. He found a way to save Obamacare the first time. He's not going to destroy it now that millions of people depend on it for a case that has a weaker legal argument.
What do you think, Philip, about the way he handled this? There's a story now that's come out that John Roberts, I mean, he contorted himself into a pretzel. And changed his mind. All the things that we had heard rumor of now been verified, that he was looking at the image of the court and not the actual law. He just wanted to save the and protect the image of the court. That to me is impeachable as a Supreme Court justice. Go ahead.
I mean, the thing was, yeah, there's this new book out, and I wrote something on it because it's a biography of John Roberts and his time on the Supreme Court, and there's a chapter on his deliberations in Obamacare. And what was pretty revealing to me is that if you read the book, if you trust this account, then effectively he treated the Supreme Court like a legislative body. And there are many points in the book where it says he was conflicted between his head and his heart, what his head said, you know, the law said, versus the idea of overturning a law that was meant to address the health insurance crisis. And when they first voted on the law, according to the book, Roberts voted to overturn the individual mandate and actually uphold the Medicaid expansion. And the actual decision ended up being the opposite because of all the horse trading that went on. The other conservatives on the bench thought that all of Obamacare had to go if the mandate went. Roberts was uncomfortable with that, so he went to the liberals and said, okay, if I say that it's okay as a tax, will you sign on to the overturning the Medicaid portion? So effectively, the way it seems as though he decided that he wanted to overturn part of Obamacare, but substantially keep it intact. And then he reversed engineered a legal argument to get to that point and negotiated with the various justices to get agreement on that, as opposed to just narrowly being dictated by what does the law say and what is this allowable under the Constitution. And I think that's very worrisome.
When you look at the future the reason why I think, my personal opinion, the GOP didn't get rid of Obamacare is because they didn't have a replacement, and they are looking at repeal and replace. I don't want it replaced. I want the free market opened up. I want the laws that have made this a very profitable game for some people to go away. Let me buy insurance across state lines, et cetera, et cetera. Just open up the free market. Donald Trump, when he says we have to be the party of health care, what do you think that means? And what do the people, is there anybody that is looking at the free market? Is that a chance of ever coming back, in your opinion?
I think it's very unlikely. Look, in 2015, I saw all of this coming, and I wrote my book, Overcoming Obamacare. And what that did is it said, right now, the right's divided on Obamacare. There's plenty of plans out there. Contrary to the myth that Republicans don't have a plan, in actuality, there were a lot of plans. There were too many. Nobody could agree on one single approach. So I said, okay, here are the three basic approaches, ranging from reforming Obamacare to make it less restrictive to what you're saying, which I said, let's restart and move in a purely free market direction and completely scrap it, right? And I said, here are basically the three different paths you can choose. And Republicans have to decide on this and fight this out among themselves now, so that when they have when they're in a position to do something, they could hit the ground running. Obviously, they didn't take my advice, and all of the fights that I predicted several years in advance played out, and nothing was agreed on. And so I think it's a real problem, and it continues to be the problem, because say what you want about the Democrats, they know what they want to do. They want to take over everyone's health care. They want the private insurers out of it. They want one single government insurer, and they want that insurer to dictate prices to doctors and hospitals and everyone to be on the same plan. That we know what they want, and they're very clear about it, and the only argument on the left is how quickly they can get there. On the right, there is this sort of disagreement, because you have people that are trying to be Democratic light, and they're trying to say, well, let's expand Medicaid a little less. Let's, you know, provide a little fewer subsidies. And the argument I made during the whole repeal debate is, look, the bill that you're writing that's trying to make all these accommodations to the left is a 20% support. It's getting attacked by the left and, you know, the media. So why not go to an actual free market plan that's going to reduce people's premiums? If you said that we're going to have a plan that allows people to purchase the type of health insurance that they want, it would be a totally, you know, we'd have a totally different system. And that's the problem, is that we have a system in which people think either the government or their employer are picking everything up. So the normal free market mechanisms that work in every other part of the free market, aren't applicable to healthcare for that reason. And the, you know, I make the example in my book, like, look at an iPhone, right? In 20 years ago, there was this famous meme on the internet a few years back where it showed a Radio Shack ad from the 1990s. And it had a video camera and a answering machine and a telephone and an alarm clock and all of these things that you could now carry around in your pocket, because there is competition for people to innovate and to find a way to bring down prices and increase quality over time. And the power of what I carry around in my pocket is drastically different from what existed within my own lifetime. And there's no reason that that type of innovation can't happen in healthcare beyond the fact that we have a system in which everything is rigged from the top down, and where government sets all the rules, or everything has to be rigged through the employer. People don't have any choice over what type of insurance they have. And you know, if Republicans don't rally around the plan, I could tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're going to have Democrats take over, if not in 2021, then in 2025 someday, and they're going to want to go in the direction of single payer. They may not get there overnight, but they'll try to. You know, they'll expand Obamacare. They'll end what's, you know, a government plan to Obamacare and rig the game so that millions and millions of people shift over to that. That's what the argument is on the left right now.
Philip Klein, executive editor of Washington Examiner, also the author of Overcoming Obamacare. Thanks so much for talking to
me.
I want to play something because what he just said is in 2021 or 2025, they will take over. And the way he said it reminded me of the Trojan horse audio. Now, this is such important audio. This is what we played at Fox, and it was inside the left. Who was this, Stu? Do you remember?
Jacob something from the Tides Foundation.
Yeah, and he was talking to a group of leftists and policymakers, and he was talking about Obamacare and how we are going to do Obamacare, but don't worry about Obamacare. Come together. Now, where are the secret meetings of us saying, okay, we're going to do this, but don't worry, it's a Trojan horse to get us back to a free market? Are there anybody that actually believes in that anymore? Listen to what they said. We played this. We talked about it almost every night for almost a year, and it was dismissed. Listen to it.
Someone once said to me, this is a Trojan horse for a single payer. And I said, well, it's not a Trojan horse, right? It's just right there. I'm telling you, we're going to get there over time, slowly, but we'll move away from reliance on employment-based health insurance, as we should, but we'll do it in a way that we're not going to frighten people into thinking they're going to lose their private insurance. We're going to give them a choice of public and private insurance when they're in the pool, and we're going to let them keep their private employment-based insurance if their employer continues to provide it.
There it is. All right. Let me tell you about the sponsor this half hour. It's Blinds.com. Blinds.com, they've done 15 million windows. They have 30,000 five-star customer reviews. They're the number one online choice for custom window coverings for a reason. They've been doing it forever, and they are the best at it. They are going to get what you're looking for. They're going to make the entire process really easy. They'll give you a high-end look without the high-end price. You're looking for energy efficiency. Maybe you recently moved. You want to rejuvenate the feel of your home. Maybe you're getting ready to move. Whatever it is, the whole experience is going to be really, really simple. Plus, every order gets free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go there now. Now through April 2nd, get up to 40% off of some of their most popular styles. Plus, get an extra 5% off with the promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com. 40% off customer favorites. Plus, an extra 5% off with the promo code Beck. Blinds.com. Promo code Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, beginning next week, and at the rate of the growth of the Democratic candidates for the next 400 weeks, we're going to be highlighting one Democratic candidate and telling you the story behind the story. What are the things the mainstream media hasn't reported on? What are the things that you don't know about these people? We begin next week with Beto. Yes, Mr. O'Rourke. Top of the morning to you. That begins Monday on the Blaze TV.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Our sponsor is Home Title Lock, is it not?
I love Home Title Lock.
Yeah. Did you hear this? Manhattan District Attorney's Office released a grand jury report noted that 2,000 complaints about deed fraud had happened. And
in Manhattan.
Every case involved a faulty notarization.
No. Because that's not something you can just buy on the internet.
I know. We have this weird idea that notaries are like.
I know. I don't know why. I don't even know what it is.
It's like an old-timey system.
Yeah,
that
it's
continues.
Like, I'm going to swear that. No, you just met me. I mean, I just walked into your office. I had to look you up, find out.
And pay you.
What the hell? No, you don't know anything about me. Anyway, they're faking these things, and that's how they can steal your home. Literally steal your home. It's all paperwork. It costs them like $40. It's crazy, and there's only one company that's standing in the way, and that is Home Title Lock. Get your $100 search for free when you sign up now at HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Get it now, and sleep well at night. Make sure your parents are covered with this, too. HomeTitleLock.com. All right, back in a minute. Final hour of today's broadcast. Stand by.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I tell you, we've got quite a controversy going on about that painting that I bought at a yard sale that we'll have to get to. We talked about a little bit yesterday. Also, I don't know about you, Stu. Tax day is coming up.
Super charitable
don't
today.
Don't you feel charitable? Yeah, don't you feel huge. Like a good person?
Mm-hmm.
That you're doing your American duty and you can just pay all this in taxes, and I just feel like, I'm giving the world a big hug every April 15th.
To be clear, I don't feel like I'm getting screwed.
No, I want to make sure people understand. No, we're talking charity, and we'll get into that in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's a new way to avoid pain, Glenn.
Really?
Yeah.
New way.
And you might think, what about sticking needles into me? Would that be a good way to avoid pain? I know a lot of people are on that bandwagon.
No.
But I want to
make
sure.
You mean like getting a shot?
Right. Like, yeah, getting a shot. That's a great way to avoid pain.
Okay, yeah.
However, you might think, well, what if that needle is lubricated? That might not work. Well, that's why they have dry needling. If you could just get that needle to be dry when they stick it into you, that is the new way to avoid pain.
Well, it is dry, isn't it? Yep. I mean, I don't know what they're coating it with.
Luckily, nothing. nice and dry. Nice dry needles. The therapy has small needles injected into the areas of the muscle and will supposedly relieve your pain. I don't know if that's
going to
work.
Just a whole bunch of needles just right into your
body.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
You can try that.
That's like if you have a bad headache. I tell my wife all the time, I'll punch you in the stomach and you won't think about your head anymore. How about that? No. Doesn't work.
No.
Although she usually hits me. Help me. I'm abused. Anyway, Relief Factor. If you want to get out of pain, Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com. Try it. It's working for me. Try it. 70% of the people that do, they take it as directed for 3 weeks. They see a massive decrease in their pain. I know I have. 800-583-84, 800-583-84, or ReliefFactor.com. Stu, I'm going to give you something here.
All right.
It's because I'm not going to give it to you. It was given to me for my charity. I'll throw it over. Throw it over to you on there. Yes, there it is. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this should not piss you off. If you lived in my town, this would not piss you off.
That is, it's a nice coin.
It's a nice coin.
What is it called? Challenge coin.
Challenge coin.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it comes from the fire station in your town.
Yes.
Wow, this is really nice. Why?
It's nicer than almost any. It's nicer than the challenge coin I have received from presidents.
It is really nice. It's heavy.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Isn't it? Beautiful. All carved with a new firehouse on it.
Yeah, they have an actual engraving of it, and it looks like a very large firehouse.
Well, it is. It is. It's very good. Throw it back over here because this is just my reward for being charitable, and every family got one. Now, well, they didn't just come in the mail. We got an invitation, a very slick, full color, nicer than some wedding invitations I've ever received. Everybody in my town got one. Now, Remember when you were doing wedding invitations and you were thinking, oh my gosh, this price of these things is going to kill me. And you were like, I can't send out any more invitations because we can't afford just the invitations, let alone the food. Right? My town, everyone in my town got one. And it was for the grand opening of a brand new firehouse.
Now, why would you want to be invited to the opening of a firehouse?
Well, you haven't seen a firehouse till you've seen this one. This firehouse, if it cost $10 million, it cost a dime. Okay? I've gone to the firehouse. Now, I want to make it very clear. I have nothing wrong with the firefighters. I want the firefighters to... Currently, they've been in this, like, this metal shack. Okay? They've been in there ever since I've lived there. I drive by it, and I'm like, come on, guys. We can treat our firemen a little better than this, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
But they've gone from a metal shack to, I am not making this up, a firehouse nicer than my house or anyone I know in the neighborhood. Okay? And wow. I live in a nice neighborhood. Stu, you've been to my house.
Yes.
Ben, did the builder chintz on anything in our house?
No, it's very nice.
Very nice.
It's very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, this fireplace... Or this firehouse it's very nice. It has a movie theater in it with the automatic blinds that come down.
Manual blinds?
No, you wouldn't want that.
No.
Beautiful leather seats. Now, this is high quality leather. These are beautiful seats. And the seats where the headrest is, all embroidered with the fire seal, the fire, you know, the badge.
Mm-hmm.
On every single seat. I don't have a movie theater in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have those kinds of seats in my house. And if I did have those kinds of seats, I don't think I could afford to have them embroidered every single one.
With the logo of the firehouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has this beautiful Wolf stove in it. And again, you want an industrial stove, but it has top of the line everything. Now, here's my problem. This firehouse literally is nicer than my home. Much nicer than my home. Okay? If anybody saw my home up for sale, A, it's not cheap, and B, it's nice. This is far nicer. Are you looking at pictures on the internet?
I'm doing some research.
Yeah. Far nicer than my home. It has a bistro in it.
A bistro?
A bistro.
Not a vending machine.
No, it has a bistro in it.
Because, it's nice to have a vending machine if you're a worker there for a long time.
No, this has a bistro.
Soda machine, maybe?
Yeah. It has a full kitchen off to the side, but it also has a bistro where you could come in and have coffee and pastries and maybe a little sandwich.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It has a beautiful patio with a fireplace and outdoor televisions, and it's just great. Nobody's getting into the firehouse. I mean, because you might want to rob, anything in this firehouse. So you can only get in with biometric prints. So every door is a fingerprint lock.
Because someone might break into the fireplace.
I don't know. But okay. Every lock is a fingerprint lock. Okay. This thing is the doors of this firehouse. The door. When I rebuilt our house up in Idaho, these people trying to gouge us, they were like, well, these doors are the best doors and the best blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, how much are they? And they're like, oh, they're $1,500 a door. And I'm like, I can get them for $100. Let me go to a reclamation site. I'm going to get a bunch of old doors. Well, they won't match. Well, neither do all my kids. So what the hell? These doors, just the doors.
Yeah.
Of the firehouse, they have these big, beautiful red doors. And don't get me wrong, it's beautiful. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad the firemen
have a place.
You
do not have to do this disclaimer set with us.
Let me tell you something.
Because this is one of those things they do. They build these Taj Mahal schools. And if you oppose, there's one Pat always references that has two separate arboretums inside of it.
Yes.
And it's like, if you say, well, is one arboretum enough? you hate children.
Yes.
Is the nicest doors you've ever seen in the world appropriate for a firehouse? You hate firemen.
Yeah, well, and I don't. I love firemen. They're heroes. Yes. I don't want them in that metal piece of crap. But here's my problem. I have less problem with the actual firehouse than I do with the city. Here's what happened. They had an open house where they sent us invitations, and I couldn't make it, but my son-in-law went to claim my coin, and he went on a tour. And this is what was actually said by the person giving the tour. No expense was spared here. expense was spared here. First of all, I know that. I walked around while you were building it. I walked around and looked through the dusty windows and went, I want to live here. I'm thinking about becoming a fireman so I can live there 3 days a week. I'll live in a cardboard box for four if I can live there 3 days a week. It's unbelievable. There's no bunk beds. Everybody has their own like suite with their own bathroom in it.
There's an outdoor atrium.
Yes,
that seems pretty nice.
Yes,
but I will say now look when they started planning it.
Yes,
it was 15,800 square feet.
Yes,
and you might think to yourself, that's not big enough for a fireplace.
That's what
for
I
a
thought.
Fire station.
I thought we had four fire engines.
Right. Well, no. It was upgraded to 18,000 square feet.
18,000 square feet.
Before it was done.
Uh-huh.
And you do have six fire engines. Six.
Oh, we have six.
However, three are reserve. So technically, you're only using three
right.
at any given time. And
right.
that's the thing I think is odd. This is not Chicago we're talking about
no.
here with a fireplace.
No, this is a very small town.
Right. And so you're now at 3,000 square feet per fire engine.
Right.
Which is...
Right. That's a big fire engine.
Seems high.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now remember, this is the town that would not even listen to my argument when we went to the tax assessor and they said, well, you have almost 4 acres of property and your neighbors all have 1 acre of property and their home is on 1 acre, so you could subdivide... which I can't because my house is not high, it's long, you could subdivide and you could have four houses. So we're going to charge you four times as much.
But you don't have the four houses.
But I don't have the four houses. I have one house.
This is how you pay for a really nice fire station.
This is how you pay for this fire station. And I'm outraged that, quote, no expense was spared. And, you know, we could come and we were, did anyone say thank you? That was my question to my son-in-law. Did anyone from the town, when they were giving these speeches, say thank you for allowing us to live off of your hard work in a style that you don't even live in? Thank you for that.
So you hate firemen. Wow, that's an amazing admission.
No, I hate this city. This city is driving me out of my mind. Because, and you know what? My neighbors, I want to go door to door and say, what the hell is wrong with you? You were walking around taking those tours, and you didn't realize that that was your money.
No, and surely they voted for it at some point.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
We need a new firehouse. I'm for a new firehouse. They were living in a literal metal shack. They had their firehouse. It was a metal barn. Now, there's nothing wrong with metal barns. We can do a little better than that. And it's very hot in Texas. And the barn looked like it was made in 1965. But my God, they don't have to live in a house nicer than any house of anyone I know. They are building a house, about 3 blocks away. And somebody's building it on spec. It's 15,000 square feet. It's going to be over 15,000 square feet. It's a $10 million spec house. It's insanity.
Wow.
It's insanity.
The firehouse is nicer and bigger than that.
What the hell?
And by the way, both true. Because it was when it was only 15,800 square feet, The estimate of the cost was $8.9 million. Now, of course, they built an extra home on top of the 15,800 square feet. So you know it's a lot higher than that at the final cost.
Look how much it costs. I have
also did not include the cost of the land.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was donated, which was another $2 million. Okay. So you're at about $11 million of the old size, and that was an initial estimate. My guess is, what, 15 million?
Now, this is the town. I know it's over 10 million. It's got to be over 10 million. It is the nicest. Everyone who has driven by it, because I drive by, people will come to, you know, visitors. I'm going to say, you got to drive by this. Tell me what you think this building is. And they're like, good Lord, look at that. It's, everyone has said, nicest firehouse they've ever seen in their lifetime. I've never seen anything like it. You know how you watch movies and people are living in these great houses and you're like, look at that dream house. This firehouse is nicer. I'd have my kid's wedding at that firehouse. Dear God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to marry off my kids young just to piss them off. Not the kids, the firehouse. I'm going to have my wedding there. My wife and I are going to be remarried at that damn firehouse. I'm getting some money's worth out of that thing. Oh, my gosh. It just, and nobody looks at it. No. They're all like, oh, this is great. This is so great for our town.
So with you.
It's your money. It's your, well, it's a lot of Pat, because this is the road that Pat is always stopped on.
Yeah, this is actually them spending the Pat Gray dividend of all the speeding tickets.
This is literally, my town gives out more speeding tickets than anyone else, any other town in all of Texas. If you haven't looked at a map lately,
some big towns in Texas.
And it's a big state. Okay. I have a little town in a very big state. We give out more speeding tickets than anyone else. I know I'm probably going to get one on the way home tonight.
Oh, I'm sure now.
The fireman will be like, you know, citizen's arrest. And again, I have no problem. Our police department is great. Our fire department is great. I put our alarm system, I don't know, maybe I should call the firehouse and see if I can get one of their alarm systems that they put in the firehouse. I put in a great alarm system for fire and stuff. It's like racks of equipment. Damn things going off every time we leave town. Damn things going off. And I hear, oh, the police are at the house. Oh, geez, for the love of God. So I respect the police. I honor the police. I honor the fire department. But in everything that is good and sacred, can we stop spending other people's money?
Oh, infuriating. That's amazing. Crazy. I have 10 of these same stories.
I'm more mad at my neighbors.
Me too. We've got to come back to that.
All right. Back in just a second. First, let me tell you about Norton. You need a VPN. That's a virtual private network. You may not know about it now, but I'm telling you, in the next 2 years, you're going to know about this. And you're going to say, geez, I wish I would have had that before. They are collecting information on you right now. And I know nobody has anything to hide, et cetera, et cetera. But everything, every keystroke, even the stuff you delete, is logged and saved. They can track your every move, not for some nefarious reason, just because you're adding to the global collective so they can have 100% certainty on what you're going to do next. No, thank you. That's why I don't have Nest in my home. Yeah, I know it's convenient, but I live my whole life with just turning up the temperature and turning the temperature down myself. Anyway, VPN. It's a secure VPN. So no one can track you. The only people I would trust with this is Norton Security. I want you to go to Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Price starts at $333 a month with the annual subscription. You download the app, you put in the passcode once, and you're on a virtual private network. Nobody is tracking you. Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. Ugh.
Let me give you my version of this same story in my town. They're building a Taj Mahal, apparently, which is, it's built as a recreation center. Okay. A beautiful new recreation center that costs millions and millions and millions of dollars. Seemingly all of that, I think I paid for. I look at my tax bill. And so, and this is an amazing thing because it's the neighbors that really frustrate me more than anything else. They build this. Now, first of all, there is a facility nearby which is incredibly similar to this new recreational facility they have. It's a gym. It's a pool. It's got water slides. It's got...
Literally. People don't have any idea. Texas has gone insane. Their rec centers have water slides.
Yeah, they're amazing.
It's and
they're
incredible.
And they're great.
They are.
Now, if you happen to be the private businessman who invested millions of their own dollars to launch a very similar product several years beforehand,
in the same zip code right down the street.
Right, assuming they were coming in to compete maybe against other private business people who might try to launch a competing gym or recreation center. But instead, the town you're paying taxes to launches your competitor. Okay, so they launch a new facility, which of course they spare no expense on. It's bigger, it's newer, it's nicer, right? And then after they have the gall to take all of these tax dollars and dump it into a place which we already have in the town, they then have the gall to charge us to be members.
Oh my gosh.
For it.
Oh my gosh. It's,
and you know what the reaction is from every person I've talked to in my town about this?
No.
Did you see how low the prices are for membership? The prices are so low. It's much lower than that other place. Well, first of all, how bad is that? That a local government comes in and undercuts a private business that is already in place.
And you know what?
For a non-necessary need either, by the way.
Businesses is where they get their tax base.
Exactly.
It's not from the homes. They all want every single highway in Texas. You can't build your home anywhere near that because the towns are all saying, no, there's a huge highway coming here, and this is all going to be businesses. And that's where they get most of their money.
Yeah.
For the towns to go into business in freaking Texas. What the hell is happening?
I don't know.
What is happening?
And then it's like, oh, it's so wonderful. The prices are lower than the other place. Well, you first of all paid for all of it. The prices aren't lower. You've paid them thousands of dollars to build
it. It should be free.
It should be free. They should be paying you to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh. But don't forget, next week, next couple of weeks, we'll all feel charitable on tax day. It's charity. It's charity. It's good.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Okay. Let me tell you about what the IRS is warning taxpayers about. Businesses. Tax professionals. Watch out for predators fishing for personal information during tax season. Because if scammers get their hands on your data or a previous tax return, they can use that information to screw you even more than the IRS is screwing you. I'm sorry. Let me get back to the copy here. There is LifeLock to help you against one of the predators that is trying to screw you. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats under, like your social security number on sale at the dark web, your medical records on sale. I mean, it's crazy. And if there is a problem, there's a U.S.-based restoration specialist that will work to fix it. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. You know what? Maybe that's why we should have the government do this, because they do a better job than... I'm sorry, back to the copy. LifeLock is identity theft protection for tax season and beyond. 10% off your first year. Use promo code BECK. 800-LIFELOCK. 800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Promo code BECK for 10% off. LifeLock.com. Promo code BECK.
Unplanned is a movie coming out this Friday. You should see the movie, and if you happen to be in Utah, Glenn's going to be there watching it with you. Go to glennbeck.com for all the details.
So Pat, who gets a speeding ticket every time he crosses into my town.
I paid for that firehouse you're talking about.
No, you didn't.
The pack gray dividend.
Yes.
No, that's what
didn't.
They call
yes.
it.
No, you yes. didn't. No, you didn't. I'll show you my property tax. No, you didn't. You maybe bought the stove, but I bought the movie theater. I bought the en suite live-in quarters for everyone.
I mean, how much did just this coin cost that Tim got at the grand opening? I mean... Just sending this to 800 or 900 residents of your town?
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
There's something like 900 residents of your town. 900.
No, my town's bigger than
that. And that's why
Isn't
you need...
Mm. No. Is my town bigger than that? Mm. Everything right here, around 900. Everything here kind of bleeds into itself. Mm-hmm. How big is my town? We have a $15 million firehouse. How big of a firehouse does this town need? You're telling me it's smaller than I thought? I thought we were like 20,000 people.
No. Oh, no. Nowhere
well,
near.
It is,
oh, nowhere
my gosh.
Near.
We have a 15... What is the population of my town?
No, it's definitely bigger than what Pat's saying. It's not 900 people, but okay. It is 992 people.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
It's 992?
We have a $15 million firehouse
for 992 people.
But the good thing about that is it's only $15,000 per person. And that includes children, obviously.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
That's good value. Now, I will say it is. On the other hand, though, when you look at it, it is 6.7 square miles.
Oh, wow.
So that is only 2.14 million per square mile.
Are you guys trying to kill me? I will explode. I'm going to explode. My town is only 6 square miles?
6 square miles.
6 square miles, and I have a 15 million. I am going to town council meetings right now. I am going to the next town council meeting. Are you kidding me? We are 6 square miles, and we have a $15 million firehouse?
It's only 2.14 million per square mile.
That's not bad. That's not bad. God. And I will tell you this, it's a well-policed 6.4 square miles.
Yes, it is, Pat.
It is. So, I will tell you, this is the only town that I've ever lived in. I mean, the police are on it. Remember when we had this string of robberies, and they were sophisticated robberies? They were scoping these houses when we first moved here. They were so sophisticated that they stayed in one house for almost 2 days to rob it completely. Okay.
Didn't they remove the safe?
They removed
from the foundation. God.
Yes, from the foundation. These guys, the police department, boom, they got them. I mean,
nice.
They are good.
They're good.
They are really good.
Sure. They probably should be.
Can we do, please, we don't have to build a new police station, too, do we?
Oh, of course.
Because this is not a police station, fire station. This is just the firehouse.
And by the way, again, in case you missed it, there's only 3 currently used fire trucks for the town.
No, they're not used.
They're not used very often.
Yeah, they are beautiful.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a lot of open space in this town.
I've never heard of a fire in the town. Has there ever been a fire there? Did they need any fire department? Couldn't they be serviced by my town's fire department? At least my town has 45,000 people in it. 992
people. We are not helping your
people.
Town. I'm not putting a scratch on those fire trucks. Not to help the riffraff like you in the next town hall.
No, you're not going to the slums with your beautiful fire trucks. They're not coming my way.
That's unbelievable.
By the way,
it's
incredible. There was a town hall meeting about this firehouse before it was constructed, which happened just a couple of weeks before the 2016 election when everyone was super focused on local fire truck issues.
Wow. Is that when they did it?
Yeah, that's when it happened. And you didn't attend,
man.
Did you?
No,
you're
I didn't.
Not involved in local government, and therefore,
no, this is
your
what
fault.
You know what? Honestly,
this is what happens.
Honestly, you know, now that I know there's only 900 of us, I'm just going to have to start having more children. And then we'll just all attend because I could change this town. Yeah. 900 people, we can change this town. I thought it was much bigger than that. And I tell you, we have one of the nicest schools, literally one of the nicest schools in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
People will move into my town, which I thought was strangely much bigger. I don't know how people do it, but they move into the town just to be able to attend this school. And I mean, they'll move anywhere from the country into this town,
mm-hmm.
Because you get full access to the academy. I'm not sending my kids to the academy because I went to it. It's there is a. Have you been to the academy?
I drive by the academy all the time too. I've never been inside.
Okay, it has a gigantic, beautiful fireplace in the lobby the school.
Of the school.
Okay,
I've never seen that before.
Crazy. And if you live in town, you get to go, that's your public school. Well, that's fantastic. As long as you like a UN world curriculum, it's like the Little Red Schoolhouse. It is.
It literally is.
It's the Little Red Schoolhouse. And I'm like, what? I'm living in Texas. I know my neighbors. How is this happening? And all the neighbors say the same thing. Oh, isn't it great? No, it's not great. What happened to you?
Has anybody but us complained about the firehouse?
I have not heard anybody. Well,
I haven't either.
Tim and my daughter, who also live in town, Tim and my daughter, they were the ones that went. And they were like, this is insane, Dad. You're gonna have an aneurysm when you actually go inside of this place. But I haven't heard anybody say anything but, oh, isn't this great? No!
No. Nobody needs stone archways outside a fire station. I don't understand that. Every time we drive by, and I drive by twice a day, stone archways outside a fire station.
You ever seen a house that nice?
No, not even in a pretty nice area.
Yeah, I live in a very nice area.
And there's no house as nice as this fire station.
No houses.
It's
I swear to you, it is nicer than the houses that the 900 people apparently own.
Well, just the stove, if it's a Wolf stove, what are those? $10,000?
Yeah.
$12,000?
You know, I don't. Yes, you could get cheaper stoves.
You could get a. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, I know.
LG.
Yeah, they're very nice, and they would do the same. They would heat the food the same way.
That is so far down on my priority list, because restaurants will have Wolf stoves. Okay, it's not just rich people. Restaurants, industrial.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's
an industrial.
That's a private business.
Yeah, I know that.
They're paying for it.
I just get the movie theater. You're talking
that's
to me about
crazy.
The store.
I didn't know there was a movie
when
theater
there's a
in
movie
there.
Theater in it.
That's
there's the screen comes down from the. As the curtains come down,
right.
They all sit in these plush leather chairs that have the shield embroidered on the back of each chair. It's insane.
That's crazy.
And if you're a fireman, like you maybe have a long shift where you're staying there, and like it's somewhat standard, right, to have like some like little room to watch television comfortably.
You don't need electric lines.
You don't need the electric screen. You don't need the movie seats, and you certainly don't need the embroidery in the movie seats.
Guys, you should see the gym. You should see the gym in this thing.
Oh, there's a gym in it.
There's a gym.
Wow.
It is a fully the best freaking gym. I mean, it's like what? I mean, do we have like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming to use the gym every day? This is a beautiful gym. And it's insane.
Oh,
and I feel bad because I'm not saying anything bad about the fireman. In fact, if you're
again,
a fireman.
The disclaimer. Yeah,
I know.
Again,
if you're a fireman, you need a job in my town. Okay.
This is the
sweetest. I don't think we have any fires. But you.
I've never heard of one.
Wait till you see the firehouse. You need to apply to my town.
Mm-hmm.
And do not tell me what they're offering for salaries. Do not tell me because my head will explode.
Let me find out. Take a quick commercial break and we'll come back and blow Glenn's mind again.
Oh, yeah, is it really? You're not living there. Spring is time for rejuvenation. Spring is time to... You know, maybe put new blinds on your windows, because when you are in the upstairs, you can look out and you can see a firehouse that's nicer than your house. So blinds might work out for you. Whatever you're looking for, make the entire process really easy. Blind, shade, shutters, drapes, whatever you're looking for. The whole experience is going to be a breeze with blinds.com. Every order gets free samples, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. It's blinds.com. Also want to tell you about Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, we have seen, you know who needs a nice firehouse? Well, not necessarily this nice, but they need more fire trucks? California, I could see why you would need stone, everything built out of stone, because it burns down all the time. I'm just just throwing this out. But as people's homes are burned down to the ground, the one thing that is staying and standing, and we've seen picture after picture after picture of this in California, the fireplace, the stone, and the Liberty Safe. And you go to their website and you'll see it. They open up the Liberty Safe. I mean, it's all charred. It's all just, everything's gone. For blocks, everything's gone. Open up the Liberty Safe and everything's still intact inside and fine. It's amazing. Now you can get a Liberty Safe on sale at your local Cabela's. Local Cabela's has this. Also, all the latest promotions are available also at libertysafe.com. So just go there and you can see the videos and everything else. They're actually very entertaining. You know, if you have to waste some time, not that I would recommend that as an employer, but libertysafe.com, libertysafe.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm sorry to rant. I'm sorry to rant on this, but I think we've lost our mind. I live in a small town in Idaho. It's just farmers. And every time I drive by either a state or a local building, it is always the nicest one.
That's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, it's not. And I drive by this one state building, and it's this beautiful, beautiful building. And I don't, look, I don't care. I don't care about, you know, I want our town to be nice. I want things, but can we have reason? It's, you know, the schools, these schools are built and they are Taj Mahals and our education is getting worse. Can't we just build a building that is nice, utilitarian? It's not a palace.
Yeah, it can be nice and functional.
Yeah,
that's it.
It
doesn't have to have, you know, all these bells and whistles.
Right.
And no one seems to care. This is completely our fault. Because a lot of these things go through in votes with 70 and 80 and 90% approval.
Yeah, nobody thinks.
And nobody wants to vote against anything. When it comes to... Well,
I do every time.
Oh, I do every time.
Every time.
Every single time. I don't even care. Like, there are probably things that we like desperately need and I vote against it because I'm so annoyed with the whole process. But it's like they put these bonds and it's always borrowed, as was the money for your firehouse, by the way.
What?
It was financed. So they go and they borrow all the money that they don't have to build these palaces so that they can say, look what we've done to this town. We've made it nicer. And it's like, well, yeah, it's nice that you have a nice firehouse. I got it. I mean, it might help when you drive by, you see a nice building. I mean, I don't know what the value of that is, really,
I don't know
but okay,
either.
Something. But the idea is that nobody critically looks at these things at all. If you put the word kids, God forbid you put the word kids in a bill, it'll pass with 90% every time, everywhere. And we all know, and this is, by the way, when it's going to pass by 90% in a state like Texas, in towns like ours, which vote very red, that shows that we're not even making decisions on this stuff.
No.
This is wild, crazy government spending for things that are way over the top that we do not need. And yet still conservatives will go to the polls and approve them every time.
Here in Texas, things have gotten so out of control. Here in Dallas, there is a school district. I think it's your school district that has the stadium and the athletic center that when Cowboy Stadium is down.
No, I don't think that's mine, but I do know you. I've heard this story.
Right?
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboy, a professional NFL, uses their gym, their equipment, their field, and their stadium for practice. It's like I don't know what happened to Texans, but Texans have gone insane.
And those are, I mean, at least you can make the argument a fire department at some level has a role from government. Why on earth is a town involved in building a gym?
It's in their school. It's the school. That's the high school football team. School football team, yeah, that are nicer. The stadiums all around Texas. The stadiums are nicer than most college stadiums. And they are nicer than some stadiums.
Right. And it's really hard to justify because, I mean, yes, a lot of people will go to the games in Texas more than in other places. But, I mean, at least with college football, at times you can justify the cost as because a lot of times it comes back, right? These, some of these big
it's
programs.
Pride.
All of it. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's pride.
It's pride through the government. Yep. And I'm like, what a weird thing for a red state to care about. And I was talking not about the school gym, but about the recreation center I was discussing earlier, where, like, you know, is it really the role of a government of a town to build water slides to entertain children? I like water slides. I like children. Children love water slides. Is it the government's role to take money from me? If I want to go to, there are water parks all over Texas. There are water parks all over the place.
There literally is a water park within driving distance.
Indoor.
It's incredible. Indoor, and it's incredible. The city is competing against a private business. Yep. It's insane. This is Texas. This is Texas. What the hell are we doing?
What is happening in, you know, Illinois?
Right? Oh, my
like,
God.
What is happening in the Northeast?
Well, what's going to happen to us? Right, yeah. Now, they've done this for years and years and years, and they lived off it, and everything was fine because it's all going to be growth and more people are moving in, and then something happens, and then it all falls apart because you run out of other people's money. What happens to a $15 million firehouse? What happens to a school that has just taken a bond out and built some, you know, palatial palace, and then the economy is hit hard? What happens? Your taxes have to go up. Then what happens to you because you don't have a job or you've had to cut back or whatever? It's insane. We're all carrying around debt that none of us actually spent. We just went into a voting booth and we're like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Without even thinking about it. We're on the hook for debt beyond anyone's wildest imagination.
It's one of the reasons the founders did not like direct democracy. Because you see it right here. It's half the people controlling all the money of everybody else.
Yep.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.